welcome to the podcast. I'm Outside the Imagination. My name is Aubrey.
And I'm Drew Clark.
Welcome. We're doing a Miz cast.
Episode 28, 2016, early fall.
Here we are at the Missouri Lounge.
Mm-hmm. Lively place.
Miz cast. So, you got a job at Hopsy.
I did.
So what does that entail?
Hopsy is this place that they deliver fresh local craft beer and growlers to homes and businesses from breweries. So what happens is they have this device that fills growlers in a way so they stay fresh for a month. And then I deliver those to corporations.
Like a vacuum?
Like a CO2 pre-fill. So kind of.
So the growler stays fresh for...
like a month.
Huh.
And I've just been recently hired to do their corporate division, so I just drive to corporations, set up a little display, and sometimes do what's called an animation, which is I just talk about the beer and about what Hopsy does. And then I just leave a mess and drive away.
Huh. They clean it up?
Yeah. It's like they clean it up, and they put it back in the crates, and then me or someone else on another date will come by and pick up the crates.
Huh. 2 days a week?
2 days a week as of now. Pretty sweet job. Really, I finished it yesterday. And I was like, that's it, really? And they're like, that's it. And I was like, wow, that's cool.
The full day?
No, it was like, you know, I get paid a low hourly rate, and then they pay for mileage and for tolls and parking. So I made something like, I earned like $115 in like a 5 hour period.
Mm.
Just to do very little. It was pretty cool. So thanks, Hopsy. Alright, so.
That sounds cool.
I'm interested.
What else is on your mind there?
I'm interested in checking in to see how both of our weeks and months have been. I want to kind of hear the check in with myself and yourself.
Week was pretty busy, doing the IT work 3 days a week, doing the hot tubs 2 days a week, so I'm basically full time working 5 days a week, which is nice. Not making enough money.
Cool.
You know the drill.
So you're working full time but not quite enough to live.
Probably barely enough to live.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like you can buy rent and food.
I can buy rent. Maybe food. Food's a luxury. No. Yeah. Ever since Burning Man, things have been pretty fucking difficult. You know? Getting the van fixed, just dumping money into the van.
Yeah.
Trying to find work. Yeah, it's crazy.
It has been crazy. We actually haven't been able to do a podcast in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So, how would you say you're feeling overall?
Feeling pretty good.
Pretty good, all right.
Yeah. About you?
Well, you know, it's been this, I guess it could probably form this in a gradient update. Would you sing it in with me?
Sure.
Gradient update.
Gradient update.
Oh, man.
There's a lot to talk about. I'm not sure where we left off with the gradient update.
You know, there's a lot to talk about, but it's an interesting twist because more and more change is coming faster and faster, and I really thought the last one before the last one before the last one was really going to be the last one, where either it would succeed or I would quit. And
you're always saying it's the last.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it's the last one for like 4 months now, and then some other thing inevitably pops up. Somebody else usually goes, hey, what about this? And then it looks really appealing, and I'm like, well, no, I mean, let's just try, because why not try?
Yeah.
Okay. So it has now occurred so that the broker we were working with will not go through the work of making an official offer because of how my partner treated the last one we tried in Berkeley.
Your business partner?
My business
or
partner.
Your intimate love partner.
My business love partner. my business entrepreneurial investor slash partner has a certain experience about what happened at a building in Berkeley, and then our broker has a different experience about what happened. Mm-hmm. And the broker is unwilling to work with him because of what happened, and I don't blame him. Very simply speaking, the broker has it so that we made an offer, they made a very reasonable counteroffer, and then we freaked out and offered less than we offered the first time. And my partner is under the impression that it's not what happened. So I don't really know what to do there. It's sort of a kind of an ender.
So you make an offer that's below what they want.
Right.
And then you go back and forth and mm-hmm. settle on a price. That's generally the way it goes.
That's just generally the method.
Okay.
So we did the first one. They did the second one. We freaked out and ran away.
Cold feet.
I don't know, you know, it's like, it's really like, maybe this isn't for me, maybe I should, huh. You know, maybe there's a cool opportunity for me to rethink or rephrase or remove what I'm doing. Hmm. And so we're going along, and then I'm on the phone with my mom talking about this kind of stuff, and a little envelope slides in my apartment doorway, and I grabbed the envelope. And we're going to do a sounds good, and then I'm going to tell you what was in the envelope.
All right. Let's do a sounds good.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So I don't know how we're going to do the sounds good. We're going to get it, though. Let's see what we can do. I wonder.
We're recording on our phones, and you have something to play from your phone?
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to work. Let's see.
Probably not going to work.
Probably not.
But we could pause, you play it for me, we edit it in later.
Huh. You know, I'm gonna just give it a shot. We can put it in later if it doesn't work.
Doesn't seem like it's working. Is it working? So yeah. It played while you were.
It may have.
Cool.
It may have.
Nice. Is that a recent one?
I recently made that with my phone and my mouth. It's mostly mouth sounds, but there's some
guitar in there, right?
There's some guitar in there too.
Heard some guitar in there.
And you know, it's we're testing out a beta thing with my long-term band Nilotep, and we're trying to see if we can turn mouth sounds into Studio One sounds.
So that's my sounds good.
The girl's standing there like you go crazy. I'm like, I'm gonna try to get her.
Stop! What's the commotion here?
Did you do that with Evan, or is that just you?
By myself.
Cool. How are you going to incorporate that with the band? What's the thoughts?
Well,
what are the thoughts?
There's something else I can show you, but I can't show our audience yet.
Because maybe save it till it's done. Oh, we can. Because it's what?
I can't share with the audience right now because it's in beta. But it's essentially some of my beatboxing converted into actual drum sounds over an older track.
Huh. How did you do the conversion?
Evan did it by hand. He took my audio file and put in the bleeps and bloops in Studio One where drums would be. And it's pretty cool. I'll show the audience the finished product, obviously, when it's ready. But I can't let it go now. It's still in beta. Well, it's coming though. Music always.
What's Studio One? Software?
Software. It's software, expandable software, different stuff.
For what?
Music recording. It can do both MIDI creation and audio recording.
Is this open source? Proprietary? You know,
I wish I knew. I could probably know more than I do.
I know there's Reaper. Well, is he using Mac? He's using PC?
PC.
So he's using a personal computer. And as we all know, PCs aren't Macs, so Macs aren't personal computers. Go figure. Yeah, there's this program called Reaper. Open source. Windows-based. And that's what I've been using. And that's what I've used in the past for doing multi-track recording on Windows. Mm. So I'm curious if there's a new and better product out there. I want to be aware of it.
Well, maybe Studio One is. Or maybe Reaper's better.
Should have Evan on the podcast.
We will. And we know. Shouldn't we should. And he shall. We should and shall.
He shall
and
should.
He should. So the envelope slid into my doorway. Was a 60-day termination of tenancy from my landlord. You heard it here first,
folks. Oh, is he moving out? Hey, guys, I'm moving out.
No, we're being kicked out.
Yeah.
There's no reason. We've paid our rent. We are great friends with all of our neighbors. We generally follow the rules, although I do occasionally break the rules. So that's true. It could be an element.
Could be that.
But there's no, like, monetary element.
Right.
In fact, I cultivated and maintained the garden, as you know, from Garden Update,
that
he uses in his advertisements to list the spaces. So,
okay, I didn't know that
too.
That's
plus
a little weird.
Plus, I clean up all of the dog poop from all of the dogs in the shared backyard. Okay.
And, yeah, you do, I mean...
I do some stuff there.
It's weird, because it doesn't strike me that you're like... fucking with the property or anything.
Yeah, I think...
Is it the Burning Man stuff?
Yeah.
You had a big van. And a big trailer.
We did. Yeah. So, we're getting kicked out. That's it, folks.
But he didn't give a reason, then, though.
And he won't answer the phone, or an email, or a text. He just won't speak. So, that is... Part of the gradient update is I'm now considering where it could be because my present income of not little.
I'll actually use it this time.
There's not really places that I could live in the Bay Area, really. So we're like considering leaving.
Not places you could live because it's too pricey.
We presently don't have an income to support such a thing. So, yeah. And, like, getting a job immediately and then earning enough money to move is really unlikely. So,
So it's time to retrench.
So we got to retrench. So it's we're now considering. I mean, Monterey, because my fiance's parents live there. Sacramento, because there's a really cool warehouse option, and I can stay with our dear friend Adam. Or even potentially Bend, Oregon, because my mom lives there, and there's a big beer community. So now the roots, it's a really weird feeling to have the roots kind of just out of the ground, but over the old hole, going, all right, where are we moving? Sort of hanging above like a like trellised plant puller.
Yeah, that's fucking shitty.
Thank you. So we're moving somewhere to where, I don't know, but I know the podcast will continue. Don't you worry,
this
folks.
This can be Skypeable.
We can Skype it.
Telepresence exists.
Yeah, we can do it. Hard to pass the peace pipe back and forth over Skype, but still possible. So that is kind of the general grading update. Of course, you know, there's some new warehouse that I'm so in love with, and it's just perfect, but that's kind of my that's my shtick.
Mm-hmm.
And this new one has all the bells and whistles. It's cheaper than what we pay for a rental space, all utilities included. It has floor drains and already an approved bathroom.
Internet included.
Internet included. Fiber optic. 100 megas included. So everyone who works there gets to work super fast internet. So it's going to be really a great place.
You know, could be the cusp of a new opportunity.
Right, so that's how it feels to me. But I've been on this road so long, they all look like that. So.
Right. It would be more of a... I don't even know if it would be a risk, because the risk is already there, because you got the notice.
There is just risk. So I would set up a small, it's like 1,500 square feet, it's right like in Land Park, Sacramento.
How much is 1,500 feet?
1,500 feet is roughly the size of this yard. I mean, ish.
So it's not like a gymnasium.
No, it's not a gymnasium. It's like a quarter of a gymnasium. Something like that. You include the bleachers, yeah. Maybe a little more.
Half a soccer field? Quarter of a soccer field?
Between a quarter and a half. Yeah.
Ceiling height?
You know, in the teens. First, most of it. And then there's some, like, nine-footed... like office and bathroom sort of situation.
So you would have rehearsal studios, office space as well?
I mean, the rehearsal studio thing, it doesn't seem likely because of where it's like it by houses. It seems like maybe
that makes more sense. In Berkeley it makes way more sense, or in East Bay it makes more sense to have that because
you would
there's
have
such
people.
Scarcity.
Yeah. Yeah. But in Sacramento, there's probably still a market for rehearsal spaces. But I could probably just build one for me. It's probably all there'd be room for. So that'd be cool. But the whole thing is not air conditioned. But next year, they're going to go with solar power. So if I do an electric brewery, I could be a solar electric brewery by next year, running on utilities included because the sun is included.
And the rent's like. Third cheaper, right?
That's $1,700.
As compared to 43 or whatever.
Well, the last was going to be 62.
Okay, right. So it's way cheaper.
So it's way lower risk. Super low risk. You could probably start the whole business for like $50,000.
If it didn't go through, you could still be staying with your whoever.
Yeah.
Adam.
Right. We'd stay with him for a couple weeks. Thanks, Adam. And
go camping to give him some space.
Yes, of course. We'd be camping at the warehouse some nights too. Not every night, you know. Some
bike
nights.
Bike along that highway for fun.
Oh, hell yeah.
Remember that? That's when we were going, like 22.
Yeah, it was. It was right out there.
Flat ground, like 23 miles an hour.
We were going that speed for some time.
Yeah. It was good, like. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. So there's lots of flat land to go really fast on. That's a plus. There's rivers to go in.
Lots of heat.
Lots of heat. Yeah, and
the
there's no
heat.
AC in the warehouse. So in the summertime, the only air-conditioned room is the office. So the tasting room would probably have to be in there. So it was cool enough to sit in the building.
that's
or maybe we would just open the door. I don't know. From the office, just like,
automated like wind, automated vents, roof vents.
Something, man. I like it. I would want to automate everything, but you know, who knows?
Huh. Sounds pretty cool to me.
Cool. Thanks.
So you're.
I'm pursuing that at maximum warp, and you know it's very slow. But Adam just went and looked at the building.
It's like, why not?
Some photos. Yeah, of course.
What have you got to lose?
That's what I think.
What do you have to lose, really? Just the travel time.
The gas.
Travel expenses and time. Going there and coming back if shit doesn't work out or whatever happens. You're just spending money on travel.
I mean, like, moving all of our shit, which is, like, so...
Your expenses would be, like, way less.
Super. Especially because Adam being there for us to crash for a little bit. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, or the backup plan from that is if that can't work, moving somewhere like San Jose or Santa Cruz is cheaper. We can rent a place for like $1,000 or less that'll take two dogs and a snake and two full-sized humans.
Two dogs minus one leg.
Yeah, so it's only actually seven dog legs touching the ground total. So it's a smaller footprint.
Smaller footprint.
Oh.
Nice one. We'll have to put a little sound effect in. We'll have to put a d-d-d-d-d-d-d. Well, it sounds like fucking money to me.
Yeah, so I'm trying hard. I guess maybe...
It sounds tight, bro. It sounds, kind of like a slam dunk.
Yeah. I would very much like to slam dunk.
You would even have money... To do it and fail really quickly, even if you know,
if you do a year or less, see how it goes. Maybe lose everything.
Maximum warp.
I could see definitely requesting for you to come on a visit to help set up the
some cool.
certain things, figure out somewhere for you to crash. You know,
it would be cool to set up the. Some of the automation technology and the computer infrastructure technology.
That would be really cool because we
keg weighers,
great internet,
display board, easy ordering, something.
I want to automate and everything we can, just as fast as the future will accept. Just in every possible.
That's what I'm saying. We use like Z-Wave or OpenHAB for home automation, but apply it to the tap room, to the brewery.
Yeah. The city says it's cool. They're like, yeah, that's fine. You can do it there. You have to have food and have it be officially a restaurant or else to get a conditional use permit for just a standard tasting room. And that could take, depends, 1 to 18 months.
It's easier to get a restaurant license than it is to get
a tasting room
tasting room license.
Yeah.
So you just offer small fare.
Small
like fare. Field work.
Like field work started with. Like those hand pies, 4 or 5 kinds of that.
Chimichangas.
Some chacharitos and probably something sweet and then
Final
you know,
Corp
water.
Enchinitos.
Enchinitos.
Maripositos.
Ooh.
Chimichangas in a giant wrapped in a giant butterfly.
Wow, that's pretty evil.
That's Final Corp.
Yeah.
That's the Final Corp. That's on the drawing board for Final
butterfly.
Corp.
Butterfly. Giant endangered butterfly wrap.
right. Poisonous giant endangered butterfly wrap by Final Corp.
All the best products you don't need.
Whom I'd like to thank for our show.
Thanks to Final Corp.
All the worst products you don't need. Dangerous products. Yeah, sounds like a good plan, man.
Thanks, so...
It's kind of like, what do you got to lose, really?
Yeah, it would be so cool if we could just get that lease.
What does that hinge on?
If they would accept our offer and business plan...
So, it's still a question mark.
Oh, yeah. Lots of question marks. Well, really, that's the big one.
Have you submitted anything to them?
Just letters of... Just a letter of basic interest without any numbers or anything.
Right.
And I've been on the phone with the broker, and Adam went and saw the building in person, and we have video and... Yeah, and
of course. So...
So...
What if you built your own... What if you built it from the ground up? How much would that cost?
If it was built custom from the ground
up... You just had an empty lot. The size that you wanted.
Probably... I mean, with the brewery equipment also, or just the building?
Just the building.
Probably $150,000. For like a basic shell.
Unless you build it yourself.
No, that's like just parts.
Oh, okay.
My brother's a contractor, yeah. And I've asked him these questions. And he just keeps telling me horrible things. And I'm just like, you can't be serious. He's like, no, that is the brother. Like
three times as much as you expect.
It's like, he's my only brother, and I'm his only brother. And he's like, seriously, this is the brother price. And it's like, what the fuck? It's like infinity.
Because of labor. Labor is what's expensive, not so much.
Well, it's really equal. It's really like parts and labor equal.
So 150 grand.
75,000.
Split between.
I mean, there's insurance and all the team, and they have to sleep somewhere because it's in a weird place.
Union wages and
all that.
Yeah. And it's still good money. So.
Oh, yeah.
75 grand a month. You know, if you have three guys, two guys, you build it in a month, right?
Unfortunately, a lot of it is eaten up in like taxes and insurance, like a lot of it.
Right.
Some heavy gifting to the corporate above. Heavy mandatory
administrative fee.
Yeah.
Processing fee. Final Corp has just released a whole plethora of new fees. You can buy these fees for a small charge from their website. They have a lot of different fees you can purchase. Check it out, Final Corp. Thanks again.
Check out Final Corp links from empathyandimagination.com. Very cool. A banner at the top.
Well, if we Skyped our podcast, we could also stream it and stuff too. Probably easier to do that.
Just do it live. What do you think,
and
guys?
And stream it, like, you know, other people could watch it in real time.
Hmm. There's some cool... That happens.
You know? It would probably be easier to
do because
that.
We were Skyping. Because we were Skyping. That's true.
It would make it more seamless.
Yeah. Because if we had these... If it was, like, filming now, that'd be weird.
That would be interesting.
I mean, we could, right?
If you had, like, a selfie... A selfie GoPro, you know,
just like
it was just right here, just showed your face or your body, maybe you had two of them, and you know, we live stream like a Bicorder Warriors, but we're actually in different parks, you know, but we're interacting in real time, so we're just running like FaceTime or whatever it is, you know.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah. That sounds kind of like a cool thing to try.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're in separate locations. They're both biking and camping in hammocks. And they're interacting in real time, and I'm watching it in real time. That's a cool.
That is kind of cool. It's like camping product. Together, but like not. I could see sitting by my fire having the thing up, you know,
right.
Like by your fire going, hey, right. Cheers.
Right, exactly.
As long as there was Wi-Fi, right?
That's the main stumbling block. You need really good service. You need like a satellite, you know, link up phone.
I like the GoPro. The new GoPro has its own free cloud service where you can just store unlimited data in their free service, and it's connected to any, you know, thing. And so it just like automatically keeps
going up, but it has, like, you know, 65 gigs on hand or whatever.
Oh, the space just keeps... Yeah. Huh.
So whenever you get service, it uploads, basically.
Maybe we should...
That.
Maybe, and then that's, maybe then you should make a Patreon page and have that.
They have that, that now GoPro makes that attached to a drone.
Right.
So
right,
that
right.
You could have that. It do cool shots and then pull it out and use the gimbal from the drone as a...
Okay, it just sits in the drone. Yeah, that's... See?
They really figured it out with that because it's just one camera then
right.
For a whole show.
It's not like little screws that you have to undo each time.
You're janking it all together.
Just
and the drone's a really good drone too.
Yeah, those drones are sick, man. How they just, you know, they have programmed trajectories. Very precise.
And then the gimbals them now are so amazingly technologically advanced with these 4K cameras. It's like you're getting like full scale, like Hollywood movie quality video from your $500 flying toy.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the same shots that they get too, because you can come in over the cityscape and awesome you can shots. Do all the awesome shit.
Whereas before we needed fucking wires.
Helicopter.
A helicopter or huge crane. Wires across the city for Spider-Man, you know.
Totally.
Now it's just a fucking drone. And it'll just get smaller and smaller, so it'll be your phone will be your drone.
That's they're close to that now.
Yeah.
It has little guards.
It'll be that
around
size.
Each
it'll
blade.
Be like this size. Yeah.
They're more like toys though, the ones that are this size as of now.
Yeah.
In the future they'll be less like toys. Yeah, so maybe we'll start on the Patreon page. We have a goal for the GoPro drone. Film by quarter. We could live stream the podcast for Empathy and Imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Patreon slips this
in. We have artistic goals too, I think, if we do a Patreon.
Oh, dude, I think Bicorder Warriors is one of those artistic goals.
Like, theme for the song, you know, new theme per month. You know, so we don't necessarily have to use it, but we just have this huge catalog of themes that you and I would make up,
and then
because the Patreon goal has been met, we actually do this every month. Yeah,
yeah, dude. What you have to do is write that. That's easy to write.
It's easy to write, especially if I have this.
There you go, pen and paper, ready. At the steady, Aubrey. He's Getty. Burns the dress.
What's that?
Nothing. Just wrap it.
Yeah. So. What else?
Topics. I mean, like, maybe
celebrity guest.
Just pick somebody. Stay here.
Or just try to actually get a celebrity.
We could do that.
New theme song each month. Be cool.
That's easy. New theme song each month as a Patreon thing.
Bicorder Warriors.
What would it be? How much money would we need to make a new theme song every month? $300?
We can always talk numbers.
Huh?
I don't even know. Wouldn't have to be much, you know? That could be one of the early goals.
I mean, to rent a studio...
Yeah.
We're going to need, like, $500.
Travel costs.
And that's it. I mean...
We could somehow Skype... We could create music together in real time over Skype or something.
True. There's a lag, though, with the performance part, I think.
Or we could just send files back and forth.
That can totally happen. Huh. Do we have any other topics?
What's that?
Do we have any other topics?
Besides Patreon and Gradient.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about Bigfoot.
Oh, okay. Bigfoot.
What's the deal with Bigfoot?
Why is there fascination? So, okay, let me start. Let me ask a question then. Do you identify as a person who has a belief about the topic? Like, do you believe one thing is true or another thing is true? Is like, does he exist? Well, does he not exist?
I guess I believe that the evidence must be examined. Hmm. It seems unlikely that an animal would exist for, you know, hundreds of years and not be discovered, and not have died, not have any offspring whose bodies have died. There's just one. And he's lived for thousands or hundreds of years in the woods. See, it doesn't seem likely to me that that's true, but if they discover a Bigfoot skeleton, of course I'd be like, yeah, all right. It must be true then, you know, but so far it seems unlikely. It's something that I kind of want it to be true, but I acknowledge that it's unlikely that it's true.
I am driving.
You know, it's like human evolution is interesting and complex, and I don't fully understand it. And if I allow my imagination to go, I can imagine that there would be a being of furry, gigantic nature that is sort of seemingly a cousin of our primate ancestors and our present-day selves, and that they could be hiding in certain places. Like, for example, there are still dozens of untouched human civilizations, like, hidden in secret islands and places, like, they're really hard to get to. There are human civilizations of hundreds or thousands of people who've never had any connection with the outside world, don't know of any of the things we know of.
That is true.
And so with that existing, you could understand there might be other things we don't fully understand either. So to say
I acknowledge that.
I mean, I don't know.
I acknowledge that there are things we don't understand. And again, it would be cool if Bigfoot existed.
I think it'd be super cool.
Maybe he lives inside the earth, you know, and he was just, you know, he broke protocol and he was fucking around on the surface of the earth one day. And then it's like, oh shit.
But he really lives underground.
And then went underground again. He's got this whole community down there. We know nothing about it.
I like that.
And maybe that's true, you know.
I like the underground Bigfoot angle.
Yeah.
I like that. You know, I've seen some specials on, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that one, that footage, the notorious footage.
He's like, oh, turns around. He's like, yeah.
He's got like teriyaki kebab in one hand. No, but yeah, that's
I mean, it could just be like a suit.
That is to Bigfoot as the Zapruder film is to the Kennedy assassination. Like, you know, that's like the document that everyone, the visual document that everyone refers to.
Yeah.
With Bigfoot.
It could be a suit.
Yeah.
I suppose someone could have made a suit and then filmed it in the woods because they wanted the sensation.
Yeah. And if that's true, then it's like, well, that's kind of cool that their hoax is so fucking successful. You know.
I mean, that like is cool. We need new hoaxes, I think.
Their hoax has become almost transmuted into truth.
Like Nessie?
Because so many people believe it. Like Nessie, too. Yeah. Same idea. A huge brontosaurus-like water creature living in a tiny lake and it's been there for hundreds of years, but no evidence whatsoever.
It's like my imagination goes like, I wish that would be true.
Me too. Me too.
That would be
me
great.
Too. Same thing with
historic
UFOs.
Historic animals in great depths of water that are just from another time and just still kept on going, you know, through generations.
The underground civilization.
Dude, I'd love to be mesmerized and amazed by more discoveries of planet Earth.
It's like UFOs. I wish UFOs were true.
Yeah.
But
speak of the devil.
I can't, you know.
I can't believe it without being convinced that it's true.
Have you ever seen anything that was a UFO to you?
As a kid, there was one time where me and my brother thought it was awesome. But everyone has that story.
You know I have saying? That same story. Right. Yeah. It's identical. I was in high school when it happened. Right, same thing.
What the fuck is that? You know, it doesn't look like a plane. I've seen a plane. I've seen a helicopter.
And the one time I was on mushrooms, same thing.
Okay.
But that doesn't really
probably
count.
No correlation there. Yeah. yeah, it was like a winter night in Colorado. Winter evening, you know, probably like 6 or 7. He was playing, having snowball fights, building a wall, having snowball fights outside. And it was just me and my brother saw something fly over. Hey, that looks weird. That's the extent of it.
Will Alfred corroborate this story?
Mm-hmm. He'll probably just he'll laugh it off as much as I do, though, you know? Seems more magical in hindsight. There's probably just a reason for it.
Cool. All right.
I mean, but again, I wish there were UFOs.
Yeah, well, wishing doesn't make it true.
It would be cool to run into alien beings and to find out that they actually were here surveilling us for so many years. It would be even cooler. That means they would be so much more advanced.
Just like a duck blind?
And who knows if they would even deign to talk to us, you know?
Mm.
Like us to monkeys. We're not like going out and hanging out with monkeys, admiring them, because they're our
we're usually
ancestors.
Trying to hunt them for some sort of profitable thing.
Yeah, so they'd probably just like... I just asked that! They're still on the level of laptops and beers and... sunglasses and clothes.
Yeah. Damn. But we sound so
there just
friendly.
There just doesn't seem to be any evidence that there's any extraterrestrial life at all. I mean, at least not, you know, sentient life. Humanoid-like life.
I'm having a hard time hearing you go on this laughter. It's funny.
I mean, there's probably extraterrestrial life in the terms of like bacteria, microbes and shit.
Yeah.
Trapped in water, underground, and bacteria. But so far, I don't think there's any large-scale human-like civilizations.
Humanoid.
Yeah. Or even like.
Or even plantoid. No plants.
You know, not very small. We exist in sort of a medium realm of. Of perception, right?
Yeah.
We can't see things that are smaller than a certain diameter. We can't really perceive things once they become too big.
Yeah, we just can't really think.
So in that middle realm, we haven't seen any life forms at all. Any extraterrestrial life forms.
Interesting point.
Like, we haven't seen any technology from another culture, alien civilization. Nothing. Not even blinks of light from the cosmos that would indicate anything like that. So, it's pretty, you know, that's why UFOs would be cool. It would confirm the whole, there is life out there. That's why I want it to be true. Because then it'll be like, yeah, there's life out there. That's awesome. But it doesn't seem to be true. That's proven by science. So, not Bigfoot, yet. UFOs.
Space.
What are some other... things like that? Loch Ness.
Mm-hmm.
Chupacabra.
Mm-hmm. The government. Government kind of is one of those too.
Yeah, the government is like such a, it's like the word love. It's so nebulous.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what about a, wouldn't it be cool if then like spin a wheel of like different possible like topics or options of a, like a thing,
mm-hmm.
where you go like, wouldn't it be cool if, and then roll the die and there'd be like several different options or something, and then we expand on one of those options on wouldn't it be cool if.
For a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. Sort of game show element.
Yeah, something like that.
Like there's a lottery.
A lottery of what wouldn't it be cool?
Wouldn't it be cool if.
Like, wouldn't it be cool if
be cool.
sports, be or cool. wouldn't it be cool if politics, or wouldn't it be cool if literature, or wouldn't it be cool if...
Like, categories?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Wouldn't it be cool if categories?
Okay, I mean, we could... I mean, there's so many things you can do, like... roads, taxes, clothing. Mm. I mean, just there's.
Categories within categories.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Okay, let's spin the wheel.
Okay.
What's that say, Aubrey?
46.
Four says 46.
So, let's see. Pause it?
Let's pause it. And we're back.
We're back. We have control.
So, we were just talking about... What were we talking about, Aubrey?
We were talking about the Patreon.
Yeah.
The idea of Patreon.
The idea of Patreon.
We're open-air marketing discussion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But so, it's like, we want to be able to use... this space to share in the most effective way, and I'm trying to figure out how to do that. Something to do with content.
Final Corp, new Final Corp commercial.
Yeah, Final Corp commercial. I mean, full scale. And I think if the Patreon had something like $5 a month, it gets a live stream to something. At $1 a month, you get the newsletter.
Yeah.
Written by Aubrey Cloutier. Yeah.
The fan club newsletter written by yours truly. Yeah, you know, so it's interesting to think about. The internet giveth just as it taketh away, right?
Right, and right.
So maybe that's the next topic.
Okay, I'm ready.
The internet.
Ooh, the internet. Oh my gosh.
Part one of an infinity. So, when did you first discover the internet?
Oh my god. Well, I'd like to first say, Aubrey and I are old enough, and maybe some of our viewers are young enough that they don't have this in their memory, but Aubrey and I are both at a time where we were raised as children all the way through middle school and beyond, and even into high school without having computers at home.
That's correct.
Or
well, yeah.
any internet access at all, ever. So there was, supposedly existed in the mid-90s.
Not the internet as we know it today, that's for sure.
Right, but basically the first time I ever had like an email, that's like when I was like, you know, okay, I have an email now.
Right, right. Okay,
I guess I'm on the internet. That was like...
right, that's your...
That was probably induction. The year 2000, or maybe okay. maybe it was 1999, okay. but it was probably the year 2000.
You're a progressive guy, so let's say 1999.
Let's say 99, okay, so, yeah.
So, yeah, I think for me it was like 1993. And... that it all follows from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of the perception. Once you had an email address, you were in.
Because you could find it at other places and always log in, right?
Right. Driving in traffic.
Through email, your friends eventually emailed you something about a social media site. Eventually. And then that's how you discover it. Which was through your email account.
For you, was that Friendster?
MySpace. I never even had a Friendster account. MySpace. I was like, I'm not doing that shit, dude. I got email. I don't need MySpace, bro.
Right.
It's like, boo. I don't want to be looking at that. Boo. Right.
Have you checked your Facebook? We've been recording for a few minutes now.
No, I haven't been checking my Facebook. But then I was working at Southwest Airlines, and it was like everyone was using MySpace, and it was like, you can have pictures, and you post what you do. It's like, cool for bands. Your band. Oh, no, all these bands.
Cool for your band,
You're supposed to have it for your band now. Like, okay, fine. And then you have to have one for you, and so we had this MySpace, and I had this MySpace. And Islandtep had like over 100,000 listens from our MySpace. And then, I mean, that...
I believe it.
Nothing came of it, you know.
Right. MySpace went under, and I was like, well...
All that evidence of popularity
was just evaporated.
It was such a cool music networking site. It was so cool.
That's what they eventually tried to transition into, right?
But it doesn't...
Like, yeah. They realized, oh, this is the best way to utilize this technology, but they realized that too late. But yeah, I remember the MySpace days. Friendster was a hot minute there. So it's interesting to think, is Facebook, they seem so entrenched, is it going to be like another, it's just a government type organization?
It sort of is already. And yet like it has Federal certain
Reserve,
tools.
Like the Federal Reserve of social media.
Yeah, totally. But the thing is, it's falling out of favor slowly. I mean, its numbers aren't decreasing, but their increase has slowed down.
Right. And Twitter is sort of tanked, right?
Tanking. It seems like that it's like there's no return on certain things. Because the younger generation... Of course, people are going to live longer, so there's going to be a lot of really old people on Facebook. I mean, that's true, especially later, because people will be living longer later. So Facebook will probably keep some sort of a lion's share of the market, but they will lose eventually.
To whatever the next thing is.
Right. The thing that's faster and better. All people really want is the bandwidth, the interface. If the interface increases... You're not just typing it through a clicker or a mouse. Like, the interface has to improve. Because we have way more we could be expressing and accepting. But instead, we're doing it through text still and picture and sound. But as soon as we can, the human interface gets better, that's when the next social media will be dynamically more important than Facebook could.
It's the problem of locking. Certain paradigms get locked in, you know? So Facebook is like building on what they originally had, you know, that this sort of technology architecture they originally had. And so they're constantly building on this thing, which itself, you know, the foundation becomes outdated, perhaps. You know? You have to retrofit the foundation of the house. So everything else is fine, so, you know, you gotta move the house up. So maybe... It's that syndrome of lock-in, and that's the death of a lot of startups and a lot of these companies. I mean, companies seem to come and go. You know? IBM is still around. It's like, you know, Microsoft, Apple, Google. Will Facebook just submerge without a trace, or will it rise?
I think it will reach a sailing point that is much higher than the MySpace, because that website still exists. If you go, MySpace is up.
Yeah.
And there's people on there.
I maintain a legitimate profile, man.
I mean, I believe I do too. I don't think I shut it down. I mean, why would I?
I maintain a real presence there.
But see, like, I think Facebook will be in that book, but it'll be at a much higher level because so many more people have used it. And they'll be older, and they don't want to get all the with Twidgets, Snappers, Chats, Snifle.nets.
Streaming,
it's just too many things. And it's like, I'm already that old person where it's like, Facebook is so complex It is so complex.
There's too many widgets and too much bullshit.
It's crazily. I can't. It's like a constant quest. And that's part of their appeal model.
They want
is
you
that you will never fully understand MySpace or Facebook.
Right, right, right.
Well, they want, it's too complex.
They don't want you to leave. That's the thing. It's like a labyrinth with a very appealing, you know, it's a taco truck in the front or something. You know?
Yeah.
Very appealing. Once you go in, it's like hard to get out. Because just navigating is so difficult.
It's
where the
super
fuck am
difficult.
I? What am I doing? I gotta edit my profile. Just a million settings. You know,
it's
1 million.
It's like they do
settings.
That on purpose.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They do. They definitely do that on purpose to keep you within their walled garden. You know what I'm saying? So what would be
a simple thing?
Imagine
format.
If there was the virtual reality of Facebook.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
That seems like a level that we're going to get to. Where, you know, logging into Facebook, quote unquote, will be equivalent to, in the future, logging into this social media avatar. And you're kind of like viewing all of your social media, you know, in this virtual interface. So that you can express yourself very efficiently.
That. Yeah.
And that's going to be weird.
Yeah. It's going to be great for some things and really terrible for others. People are going to try to ask too much of it still, and people are going to get really addicted to it probably also, whatever the next thing is. But I agree, that is one of the next steps is AI and interface.
Yeah. I wonder if you could get LASIK surgery. And they put in a little LCD screen, you know, a little projection screen.
In your eyeball?
In your eye, like yeah. In your retina.
So where you been, Jeremy?
There's no reason they can't do that, you know. The only limitation to doing that would be just the knowledge to do it. Right? It doesn't disobey the laws of physics. So. And so, yeah, you have a chip in your brain, something implanted on your eye, and then step by step, that just happens over time. And I think eventually there'll be no real differentiation between something that's quote-unquote technology and something that's biological. Yeah. And that's where the cyborg crossover.
Like the Borg?
The singularity. That's where the singularity is. But it's all totally on a gradient. Gradient of what we, you know, because when we think of technology, we think like clinkety, clankety, steam engines and pistons and gears. But with nanotechnology, if you can just create molecules, print molecules, then it's like, well, biology is also technology. Yeah, we'll just give you this medicine that increases your memory. It'll just, you know, a little thing will grow in your brain. And it is part of your brain. It's not a foreign substance. You know, just grow your own cells.
Dude.
They're already doing that. This woman had their bladder replaced. With her own bladder. Like they took cells, stem cells from her, and grew bladder cells from it. So when they transplanted the vat grown bladder into her, it's completely compatible.
Because it's her own cells. And they grew it in like a dishwashing.
Yeah.
It looks like a dishwasher. Yeah.
And so when you can do that with your brain, with brains, I mean, that's just a matter of time, right?
As long as it's brain got all the electrochemical
matter.
I mean, you could add on direct things right into the hardwire system.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy to add on extra memory.
You could, like,
photographic memory, or you could just take photos, take video anytime. Just by think, you know, just think.
Film.
You think something. Think a keyword, and it just starts.
Think a keyword.
You know?
You have to make it something weird, like rutabaga or sassafras, so that you wouldn't trigger it all the time on accident, and then you're like filming yourself
maybe
taking
you have to
a
say
dump,
it.
Or you go, films are weird. It's like, ding.
Or it could be like a blink sequence. So the internet.
The internet. It's so weird to think about life before it. I remember when I heard the first person say that, I was in line at Fry's Electronics. And someone was talking about the internet. This was like early 2000s. And this guy was like, yeah, I just gotta get my computer fixed, man. I can't imagine my life without the internet now. And my friends...
So it sounds like a good Final Cut ad.
My friends and I were compelled to make a commercial for the internet patch. To help you get off the addiction of the internet.
Nice.
And I remember the video pretty clearly. I don't think there are any copies available. But we designed a commercial for the internet patch where we had this like chip. We would like put two set of tape on it. And we would stick this on people and film the reactions to be able to get off like a nicotine patch for the internet.
So someone's using the computer, and you put the patch on, and they're like,
they can leave the computer.
Yeah, it's good.
It was good.
That
it's
is
a good,
good
commercial. The internet is the government prime. The government is a concept of communication to try to have some sort of organization. The internet is the government prime. So
it really is. I mean, it's a direct result of the government. The military, DARPA net.
Totally. So like, it's clearly a lineage, but this is the next generation, right? And so the old generation is looking pretty stinky. It's like hunched over, smells like shit. Nobody wants anybody who's there. It's just, it's disgusting. It's like when someone gets really old and they start telling you how they're right and you're wrong, and you're like, he's up there, Mr. 1950s. The war's over.
On the internet?
On the internet. The internet is the new kid who's like, check it out, Grandpa. You don't understand that. You can't call people that anymore.
Yeah.
And so the government is this sort of old thing that is losing faith. That's why only 8% of the American population has already voted for our two primary party candidates in the 2016 election. The rest have not voted for either. So, in the primaries, people will vote. More of that percentage will vote. But
right.
They don't vote in the initial ones. So... But that's kind of like losing faith in religion. That's like you go on Easter and you go, you know, you go on Christmas, right? Because that's when you go. But or when your family's in town, then you go too.
Right.
You don't
right.
really go otherwise. I mean, like you say you do, but there's like mostly not really. So that's kind of like how I equate the government too. Is like basically. We've all lost faith in its realness. Like, it kind of isn't real anymore, but we're told us sort of socially obligated to comply, and so we have this whole gradient of people who choose to really comply and choose to, like, barely comply, and it's like voting at the end just for one. I don't know. That's the only thing you vote on. You're like, yeah, yes.
So is that how the government is like the internet?
Yes, that's how the government is like the internet. and the internet can replace everything the government does for us in such an efficient way that it's like indescribable. All systems automated about meeting the needs of people through the internet.
Well, not roads and stuff. You know.
Well, without the internet, we couldn't automate it all. And so we can automate it all.
Yeah, I mean, like building roads.
Building roads can also be automated through using the internet. And it's like, that's just eventuality.
It is, yeah.
With technology. So it's like, there really isn't a, and maybe there'll be an internet prime, right? It's likely that it will be so. Like, if government is the precursor to the internet, there's probably something after the internet too, but we don't have the brains to manage at this time. We can't physically understand what that would be. But until then, I think the government's going to lose favor, and the internet is going to be basically the new government, because it is the brain, it's the network of planet Earth. It's our first, like, cortex, the prefrontal cortex of the planet.
Sure, yeah.
So we're finally starting our first neural network of
at least a fast one. I mean, that's always been there ever since ships were like modem speed.
Totally, right.
So,
but now we've had that worldwide instant. So we're talking
which
about...
Which is fucked. That's what makes it completely fucked.
Earth is now has a brain layer.
That can interact in real time. So, right. I mean, no wonder people are worried about AI.
Mm.
You know?
I think the internet is a magical, integral part of human evolution. And I think fears about the internet and AI are founded in non-integrity. Because I believe that if there was a robotic warlord that took over, it would be about integrity. It wouldn't be about personal gain. And the places where we lack integrity is where that robot warlord would destroy. That's what I think. So I think if one is in integrity...
But it all depends on the program, right?
I don't think so. I think eventually there's going to be an eventuality intelligence just that is artificial. There'll be like a basis for artificial intelligence that is based around integrity. Like doing what it says it's going to do.
Yes, that is a possibility, definitely.
Well, that doesn't scare me. If it's integral, then we're in good shape.
I agree. The question is what are the probabilities? That's really the question that everyone's worried about.
The probabilities of like AI becoming a huge nuisance.
Or just it, like we, the idea that maybe it's just that's it for human evolution. Like that we passed the torch. We've created something that's way beyond us. And, you know, it could, if we put it in control, it has to have the right systems in place. I mean, it has to have some kind of morality, right? Who's gonna program the morality of this thing?
I think it could be simpler than that, but I hear you on that question.
Simpler how?
I think things of that nature like can't be totally understood. Like AI's final destination is past where we can understand, pretty much.
I agree, and that's sort of what's frightening, because it's an unknown.
And I believe the fear is only there because we're worried we're going to get caught for how we're shitty. And I think that is the thing where people kind of blend in sort of spiritual or religious thing in with AI, where they're like, it'll be our God. Like, we're inventing God.
Sure. I mean, I'm not... There's that, but there's also the sort of pragmatic progression of it. Like, Google and Facebook, and all these companies are spending millions of dollars on research to get a sort of general intelligence online, right? So once you have corporations competing against each other at that level for this technology, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like the Manhattan Project. That's basically what's happening right now. The Manhattan Project of AI. And when I say AI, it's like general intelligence. Something that can solve one problem and then learn from it and use it to solve something that's never seen before. Right? So I think that's what the fear is in a lot of, like Elon Musk, a lot of people have expressed this fear about AI. I think that's the basis of their thinking.
I agree. I mean, that sounds genius. So,
ideally, things would be automated in the service of human well-being, whatever that means, right? We have to agree what that means. And who knows? I mean, who the fuck knows? Could be a melding of the two, humans and this other thing. You could upload your mind, you know.
Man, I don't know about uploading minds. Maybe it'll work someday. I definitely think we would become.
If you had a choice, like your body's you're dying. But you can upload your mind and like still be still be quote unquote Skyping with your friends, but you'd have a body. Just print a new body for you. From your own cells.
You could live forever. Like.
If you chose to, you could live forever.
But does your spirit, soul transfer? I mean, is that...
That's... Welcome to philosophy.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's really the question. There's a paradox about that.
Maybe that's our question of the week.
There's a paradox around that. If you replace, let's say you have Naglfar, your ship, Naglfar, and you replace one of the panels on the hull, right? Next month you place another panel. You're replacing, over the course of a couple of years, you replace every part on the ship with another part. Is it still Naglfar?
Good question.
That's,
I mean,
paradox.
The spirit, sort of. I mean, yeah.
Yes. Maybe the meaning you've assigned to it?
Maybe like if one were to assign a thing like a heart that cannot be interchanged or something like that. It can only be repaired. I don't know, but there's such a thing, but it could be arbitrary. It could be like a rock, and this is the rock that always is.
Right.
Naglfar. Right. I mean,
so maybe it truly is just a construct of the mind.
It may just be. I mean, if we can print new bodies and do a brain transplant,
yeah.
I mean, the brain will keep going, I think. If it has the electrochemical.
Yeah, you always get a new brain.
Final Corp is the leader in the field of human voice simulation and voice recognition. My name is Amzam Zamani, and I am the product of hundreds of thousands of man-hours of Final Corp research and development. My voice is indistinguishable from that of a flesh and blood English-speaking human being. Also, grammatical never makes I don't mistakes, for example. Ever. 100% accuracy and 100% fluency. Final Corp has also pioneered shout recognition technology, yelling-based reminders, and noise-amplifying headphones. Take it from me, Zamzam Zamani. Final Corp is the voice of the future.
Thanks again to Final Corp. Congratulations, 123 America. So, it sounds good.
It sounds good to me.
Should we call that a wrap?
Let's call it a wrap.
Okay, so let's do a little out. Let's hum something here. Ready? Hum with me. I never even came back to the room. Thank you for listening to the podcast. For empathy and imagination, I'd like to acknowledge you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. My name is Drew Clark.
My name is Aubrey Gutierrez. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.